Welcome back to Tuned In with Radio Laurier. My name is Keegan Gingrich, and this week we had the pleasure of speaking with Duncan and Owen from the Toronto-based band Fadeaways. These guys have released their debut EP in 2019 and have been pumping out some really amazing live shows since then. Playing with bands such as Wolf Alice and The Beaches, this group is a fun-loving bunch of guys that are only going to keep growing in the music scene. This week, we talk about keeping an open mind, not overthinking decisions, and just having fun. All right, Duncan and Owen from The Fadeaways. Yeah. Or sorry, from Fadeaways. Can I go The Fadeaways?
Fadeaways.
Yeah, okay. I know some people are super particular about it, and other people are like, no, it's cool, man. Like, I don't know. So it's good. But thanks you both for joining me today. Words are difficult. We like to start it off with a couple quick questions. And since this is the first time that I've had two people on the podcast at once, we're going to see how this goes. So I want you both to answer in whatever order you feel. And if you start fighting, that's okay too. All right, ready to go. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Yeah, coffee. I wish it was tea, but coffee.
Big vibes. Okay. Morning person or night owl?
Oh,
morning person, definitely.
Night owl. I can't do the morning.
Yeah, we're getting rid of him. No. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise, because I'm up in the morning.
Yeah, I wish I could see the sunrise more often. So.
Actually, I'm sticking with sunrise.
I like it. I like committing to it. And now this one I had prepped for guitar players, but I'm going to have to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, we all play guitar in the band.
Okay, Fender or Gibson?
Fender.
Gibson.
Ooh.
I'd rip a Les Paul first. A nice Les Paul.
A little bit of divisive. I don't know. You guys might start throwing hands at the end of this.
This is where the two-person thing works, though, because we would just say both, but...
Fair. And this is the one that might take a little bit more time. What does a perfect day off look for each of you? Or look like for each of you, sorry.
That's going to take, like... perfect day off, probably like kicking it with my dog and like walking around like the forest, maybe, or I don't know. I like kind of just being out, like walking around like downtown, you know, maybe stop into a shop. I know a lot of like the vintage owners at like in Toronto, like Flashback, and the people that like Courage My Love. So you know, you kind of just like walking around, hanging in Kensington, you just always run into people, you know? So we're like, I love just being out and like seeing, I mean, definitely COVID's like, you know, fucked with that kind of a lot, but.
Yeah, I have a similar answer. I was just going to say like no plans and then maybe thrifting. Like that would be like, you know, having no plans, like if you're in like a city, if we're on tour in a city that we've never been to before, it's just fun to walk around, just see some new stuff, but definitely thrifting if we can go find some clothes.
Also getting some like a little bit of exercise in, like I've been trying to play a lot more basketball recently, just like, you know, doing something to like, you know, move around a bit, not just
It's nice to kind of just get out and explore it too. Like even trying something new, like you're saying, playing more basketball. It's just great to have the experience of, I haven't done this thing before. Let's see what happens, which in itself is kind of like a new city when you're exploring new sports, new activities.
Yeah.
New experience every time. That's good. This one will definitely take longer. I'm realizing this now as I'm getting through them. If you're each stranded on an island and you could take only three things each, what would it be?
I don't want to say my phone, but I'm going to say phone purely because I do a lot of like demos and like recording on my phone. I use like GarageBand stuff and I can plug my guitar in. So I kind of like to take that wherever I go just purely for that. But if I could have, like, I guess I'll say iPod. That's a probably more appropriate answer. I guess then also a guitar and, I don't know. Like, I guess I'll bring Owen.
So now I'm going to bring three more things. I'm going to bring, you know, a desalinator.
I've gotten that more than once, surprisingly.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring potato seeds, like whatever the easiest crop is to cultivate, maybe corn. And then I'm going to bring another guitar so we can jam.
Okay, sick. Because I've already brought you, so we're already there together.
It's all a mix of practical and fun.
Yeah, because if we work together, we have to bring six things, and then,
What if I said there are two separate islands? Would you change your answer?
I'll bring a boat.
Oh, man. No, that's good. Okay. And now this one's deep. Okay. So I'm hitting you with it early. That way we can get it out of the way. Are there words that you live by or things that kind of keep you motivated every day? You know, some people it's like a song lyric. Some people it's just something that they love to think about.
Well, I mean, I really love.
I think I know what you might say. But
I really love Bruce Lee.
Nice.
And he says, be water. So I'm trying to be water. I'm trying to adapt to everything that's happening and look at stuff, you know, from, you know, as like pure perspective as I can try to. Like he says, there's a difference between the world and how we receive it.
I wish I had such a sick reference like that, but I don't know. I've never really thought about this before. I guess like just not overthinking things. I guess that comes into play when we do music a lot. Specifically now when we don't really have any plans, it's like we can just like write freely with no expectations. And I just love that environment in anything that I'm doing, just having no plans, no expectations, just not overthinking stuff, just seeing how it goes. I'll try to apply that to anything I do.
No, I think the two actually connect really well, because it's like keeping an open mind about what's going on. And like you said, everything's so unexpected right now. Like we don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring, quite frankly. Like everything's changing. Yeah. So just being able to go, okay, here's the thing that's going to happen, or here's the thing that's happened. What can I do to take it positively, or whatever, however you want to look at it. So no, I like that. It's good. Good answer, Duncan. I like it.
Oh, thank you.
I guess, how have you been adapting to COVID for both you, like personally and as musicians? Because I know sometimes they're the same, but sometimes they're separate.
I think, we've been very lucky that our schedule has not changed a lot, because we work in radio like you, right? So you know, the radio is generally on all the time. So we haven't really lost too much work in that sense. But in terms of music, it's honestly been great. Like we had a good run with tour in February, and then pretty much this hit right after that. Yeah. So, and we had, you know, we had already been talking about like kind of sitting back and trying to work on some old songs that we've had in the package for a while. And now that we have like no plans, it's kind of the perfect time to just like go over them. Cause you know, before when we wanted to do new stuff, it's like, okay, we think about like, you know, playing it live and we got to present it to people and like, oh, what are people going to think of it? There's so much to think about, you know?
Yeah.
So now that we have no expectations and nothing to like apply these new songs to, we can just kind of roll them out. Like we've done like maybe like something like 10, 12 demos in the last like month. We have like way more songs that we're going to work on too. It's been so nice to just like, just get it done with no expectations, no plans, and like just see where it goes. So that's been honestly the greatest thing. I want to try to keep that workflow in place even when we have, you know, more priorities in the future.
One of the things I'll say to that too is like when you're touring and you're moving like that, like you're thinking about yourself constantly as like a band first, but a business as well.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You have to operate that way. And the no pressure environment has just been great for like, just like gelling together and like, you know, just chilling and like jamming out like we used to do when we were like 16 and stuff.
Yeah, Reed and I were actually talking. Well, I guess all of us were talking about the other day. But like, we don't have any like recording plans right now. But like, you know, when the time comes that we do like another EP or another album or something, I think we wanna do it basically how we're demoing right now. Like, where we'll just like, you know, hunker down to a place, just kind of like produce it ourselves, just like, you know, take it day by day, just like whatever we're feeling that day, and just kind of like, you know, feel it out that way. It's just been so comfortable, and like, you know, I haven't felt so calm in so long, you know, in the working environment that we're
in. I just love the process of like putting it together ourselves. Yeah. Like the cottage was so much fun for that. Like to be able to like say we built a studio in the cottage, like it's just something that's on like the bucket list. Yeah. But if we can do something like that for a more high quality production and, you know, bring obviously like a few more people in on the process to enhance like our production people.
Yeah.
You know, people to like, you know, add that sort of fifth element to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that like it feels more natural that way? Not putting yourself in, not that the studio is necessarily pressure per se, but you know, you kind of feel like, okay, we have to get this thing done. Whereas if you're just chilling at the cottage, you're like, boys, this is great. And we're going to make this thing and kind of take our time with it and let it just flow out.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it's also like, it reminds me of our first tour that we did out to the East Coast. It felt like a road trip rather than like a tour, you know, because mm-hmm. we're just doing it with our homies, like, you know, and same with at the cottage. It's like, oh, we wake up, have breakfast, you know, smoke a joint, go for a swim. And then it's studio time. We have to like work, you know, but it doesn't feel like work because we're like, you know, we're doing what we would be doing if we were just hanging out, you know, we're just jamming and writing and like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's been so natural the last like few months. I want to hold on to this.
Yeah. It's such a weird environment too, to get used to, but you guys seem like you're kind of just flowing with it quite nicely. Mm-hmm. Have you found that your writing has changed? Like in terms of maybe even the things that you're talking about, the things that you want to say?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like in the last little bit, you know, with sort of the stream of consciousness that I think a lot of people have been put onto in terms of a lot of issues that are going on in the world, mm-hmm. let alone this city, let alone, you know, people know about stuff that's going on. There's a lot to take action on. So I think it's something we're trying to think about a bit more in my writing. I'll say for the lyrics that I'm, currently like sort of sitting on, but you know, we're also trying to balance it out with stuff that just feels good. And like, but also like, you know, some subject matter in those songs could also reflect themes of change, but in more of a positive lens.
Yeah, it's just one of the many reasons why I'm like so thankful that we do music, that we do what we do. And I think any artist can speak to this, is that like, you know, and I specifically feel that I don't express myself verbally very often. It's always through music, you know? And so it's really cool. Yeah, this is such a turning point for us. Like we just turned 20, you know, we're kind of like at a new stage of our life. And so being able to apply like things that are happening to the world into our music rather than just writing about like, you know, what we would be writing about like 5 years ago, like hanging with my friends, like smoking weed. Like now it's like, you know, we get to actually use our music as a voice, which is a totally new thing for me at least. And like, I'm just really thankful that I get to do it in this form, you know, and I'm excited to do more. Yeah.
I think that's something nice that I think we can talk a little bit about too, because I'm 21, like I'm going on 22 this year. Like I haven't really had the experience of talking to many people my age in this format yet. And so what I'm curious about is how you guys are responding to everything that is going on. I mean, because I feel a lot of anxiety with everything happening generally, and it's hard, like with everything on the news and you see all this stuff happening, you're like, oh shit, here's another thing happening. It just kind of feels like more stress and more stress. Are you guys keeping grounded pretty well, or do you find that it's like you've had bouts of it kind of overcoming you a little bit, or is it not as much of a worry?
Well, yeah, I'll say like, you know, it's very much on our shoulders right now. Like there's a lot of responsibility on our part for sure, for absolute sure, to make sure that we are better than, you know, we're, and you know, there's we know this too, like we are more educated on these topics than, you know, previous generations have ever been. So I think it's sort of just a change. It's like a pitch shift right now, like a fever pitch, like it's gonna go one way eventually, because there are generations of young men coming up now who know better, but it's also our responsibility, I feel, to you know, kind of I mean, what I'm doing is just on the day-to-day, like keeping it in mind, and like just, you know, making sure you just greet everybody with a smile. They didn't do jack shit to you. So like, you know, what do you got? There's no, you can't have just random fucking prejudice towards anybody.
It definitely put into perspective, like, how much of a platform we have and how much more of a platform we're going to have, you know, if we keep doing what we're doing now, you know? And, like, that was something that I never really thought about. Because it's like, you know, we just always thought that we were just, like, you know, and we're just, like, we're just people, right? Like, but now it's, like, it's this year really put into place that, like, oh, we're really building a platform that we can use to, like, you know, speak and use to, like, you know, really make change. And that never, you know, we never did that before. And it's, like, that, you know, that's our fault. And we want to, you know, be here to listen and be here to, like, you know, use what we have to make a difference, right?
So yeah.
We've just been using the time to, like, listen, educate ourselves, use what we're learning to, like, bring awareness to the world and bring awareness to our music and bring awareness to ourselves, you know? So
yeah. And it really connects back to what you were saying before about, like, having the open mind and all that. Like,
be water.
Like, well, be in that sense, like, being fluid and, like, being willing to, you know, adapt to things and to change our minds. Like, I'd like to say that I was someone who used to be very set in my ways. And, you know, if I wanted something done a certain way, or if I thought my beliefs about something, I'd be like, I'm not changing it. It doesn't matter what you tell me. You can't tell me jack shit. And now that I'm not a 16-year-old who thinks that they know better than everybody, you definitely do get your perspective and, or get a change in perspective. Sorry. And it's funny. I remember seeing about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, someone said that they're not going to listen to Rage Against the Machine anymore because their music was too political. And I kind of sat there for a second and I looked at the comment and I went, did you ever listen to the music before? Yeah. Like, and it's something that nowadays people used to be criticized a lot for saying, or like, oh, your music's too political, it's too involved in politics. But I want to know your take on this. Is it even possible to be, like, music to be political? Because I think inherently it's just an expression of opinions, and that makes it political.
Well,
I don't know.
Jeez, here we go.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I think that, like, because we're such a democratic band, we really made it our thing that we're just, like, four individuals working together, right? Yeah. And so what comes with that is, like, when we go on stage, when we put out music, when we do anything that we do as a band, it's just us, you know? It's not like we're not, Fadeaways is like become a whole other thing created by us as four individuals. Yeah. So we're really putting our personalities and putting ourselves on the stand when we put anything out, you know?
But I think I think more what you were saying is, like, is songwriting and music inherently political?
Yeah.
Right. Like, geez, like, yes, because like, you know, you can adjust that ratio however you want it to. Like, there's personal politics that's like love songs or like heartbreak songs. There's like outwardly like political songs, like punk rock is like it's supposed to be its full purpose, but, you know, then the sound was latched onto more, right?
Yeah.
I was just gonna say though, like, if you're truly making music that comes from the heart, you're being vulnerable, you know? So that means you're really saying whatever you want to say, whether that's like you're bringing awareness to a political statement or you're just writing a song about a heartbreak. It's like you're putting yourself on the platform there. You're putting yourself on the stand, right?
And so if I may, like, even in the absence of lyrics, like, you know, jazz was political because it was going against the conventional understanding of, you know, how music should be presented.
You know,
it was meant to say, screw all those rules, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
That's always,
I mean, like, music, I think, and it's, like one of its most basic forms is, like, just an expression from within. And, like, those are, like, your personal opinions, I guess, that stem from when you grew up, even, like, there's stuff within, like, mixed in every individual that's going to combine with, like, how you take in the information around you, and you're going to sort of base it on that to form your opinions, right? It's like a cocktail of both. So, like, everybody's got their own. It's like snowflakes.
Yeah. No, I love that. No, it's a good answer, because, like, I wasn't sure how I was properly framing it, but I wanted to get your two cents on that. So I think that's a good good kind of synopsis of it. Like, it is expression, right? And the one thing, Duncan, I think that you mentioned when you're talking about being vulnerable, I think that's something in to kind of pivot a little bit. In music, we're seeing more nowadays that people are more willing to be vulnerable and open and honest with the things that they're saying, where, you know, even like 10 years ago, we might not have been that way as much. Would you kind of agree with that? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it just comes from, like, I think one thing too is that, like, it's more common for bands to start off way younger nowadays, because it's like, we have social media, we can, like, you know, we can promote ourselves, and, like, you know, back in the day, like, no one's gonna listen to a bunch of, like, 12-year-olds, like, starting, right? But, like, there are bands out there that are, like, 10, like, you know,
yeah.
But people, like, you know, they'll start off doing that, but then they'll get to a point where they're becoming a fully fleshed band by the time they're becoming adults, you know, and it's like, yeah. They're seeing the world. So it's just more important now than ever to really, yeah, be vulnerable, and just for anything you do, you know, just be ready to grow, ready to be wrong, and ready to, like, prove, like, who you are to the world, I guess, you know.
You also mentioned 10 years ago, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And, like, you just used it, like, it's just an example. Let's say 10 years ago, it's 2010, and, like, Facebook is still new, and, like, we're still watching, like, cat videos on YouTube, and it's still brand new and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
I think, you know, the rise of the Instagram dynasty that we're now living in, like, it's like, I think it's something that we've specifically dealt with in the last 10 years, and, like, it's uncharted territory, right? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely playing a role.
But it's funny how, like, comfortable we feel with it now, because it's just, like, been around, like, our whole teenage life and our whole, like, now. It's like, it's just always felt like a tool that we've had, you know? I definitely don't want it anymore. Like,
no, I'm sick of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
it's hard to adjust, because on one aspect, I'm happy that we have so many outlets to be creative and for people to be open about the things that they do and who they are. But then I'm wondering, like, I guess pivoting to social media, where do we draw the line at? Maybe we have a little bit too much of this thing. Maybe we should scale it back a little bit. Because it can get...
Are you just talking about, like, on the tech front in general?
I think in general, but also in terms of, like, at what point... Because I think we know now that these types of things, social media and what have you, they do affect us more than we think they do, whether it's self-confidence, whether it's in terms of, you know, the news cycle, seeing that stuff more often. When does it become a good thing? When does it become a bad thing? I don't know. It's something that I've thought about a lot.
Yeah.
It's a case by case basis, right? There's some people that have it way too bad as it is right now. And, like, you know, you just don't know it. It's like that episode of Black Mirror, like with the girl, right? And she's, like, way too invested in it. But then she realizes there's people that are still just fully outside it who don't care. And it's like, it's just however you're living your life. You know,
I've always found that, like, I don't use social media to, like, give updates on my life or anything. You know, it's like, I'll just post when I need to. And I, like, sometimes if I'm curious what people are doing, I'll go on. It's like, it's not like it hasn't become a part of me, you know? Yeah. I often think about, like, are we going to be, like, on Instagram when we're, like, 40? Is that a thing?
There are people on Instagram.
I know, but it's new to them. They're so excited. Yeah. 20 years from now, are we going to still be like, oh, new Instagram update, it's so cool?
If Facebook's still around in 20 years, just please just get rid of me at that point. I don't even want to deal with it.
Facebook is done for me, dude. I have it. I don't have even have the Facebook. Oh, I know. I do have the Facebook app on my phone, but I, like, silence it. I can't do it. It's just so much.
So much thrown at you and so much crap. You're just like, why am I
open it right now? I probably have, like, 100 notifications.
Yeah, the thing is too, still such hypocrites.
I know.
We're on it all the time. It's like, it's an addiction for sure.
Yeah, but it becomes a part of your life, right? Like, like anything. And anyways, getting away from that now, I'm going to actually talk about music again, because I don't know how we got here. I'm curious to know when your kind of oh shit moment was as a musician, where you're like, oh my God, this thing's real. Oh my God, we're doing this thing. This is so crazy that out of body experience. I want to know if you've had that, and if you have, when was it?
We've had a few.
We've had a few, yeah.
Because there are some, like, I guess maybe less. I did watch the Dirty Nail. They have this, Luke from the Dirty Nail has this podcast, and he was just talking. I can't remember who the guest was, but I think it was like Brett from Glorious Sons or something. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about how he was like, oh, it's funny how small the goals were back then. Like, you know, like, oh, like we got a show at the Horseshoe. Like, that's crazy. Like, you know, this is a big, and then it's like, they were talking about how like, oh, the Dirty Nail opened up for The Who. And that wasn't even as exciting because it's like, they had so many bigger goals back then. So it's funny, like I think the first show at the Cavern that I ever played where it sold out. But let me clarify, it sold out at the Cavern is like maybe 100 people, probably less.
No, not even.
Not even.
Mint. Like, that's probably, sick.
Yeah. And that was like the best night of my life up to that point. I went home and like hugged my mom. I was like, I was just so happy. And like, but now it's like, I never want to go back to that place.
Yeah.
Like, there have also been like times in practice where I felt like that, where we're nailing a song like just right, or like that next like breakthrough comes in and you're like, damn, I feel really like proud of this. Yeah. Like, people are gonna love this or something like that. But also, like, I just have plenty of moments like that playing with these guys, like on stage especially. Like, the Danforth shows were definitely one. Oh,
cute.
The Danforth shows were one.
We
played, like, you know, I guess, like, just every time you do something you haven't done before, like, you kind of check it off the list, right? So, yeah. Like, when we played the East Coast, that felt really cool, just, like, we made it kind of thing. Or, like, each Beaches show has seriously felt like its own little accomplishment. Just, yeah. Like, holy crap, like, we're doing this right now. Like,
yeah.
The theaters were like next level. It was just it was crazy.
It's great. Like, even like the first or second weekend we had at the Cottage, we did this one demo that this song just came out of nowhere. Like, I was fucking around with like some keyboard stuff and like just kind of messing around doing nothing. And then one by one, we came in and just started like jamming. And by the time it was the four of us, we just played through a song that just came out of thin air, read like improvised lyrics, and then we just did a demo. And like within those 2 hours, I was like, we've never done that before. That was a new goal. We just like basically improvised a song. And like that was, even that was like a you know, picture moment.
For me. Kodak moment.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's kind of crazy how many oh shit moments we have and how many times we don't think about it.
Yeah. Well, I can tell even like you guys are just like grinning ear to ear, just thinking about it, which is awesome.
It's good memories. Like, it's been too long is the thing.
Yeah. What are you most looking forward to when, I don't even want to say the words back to normal when we get there, but when you are able to go out and do music as a live thing again, what is the moment, or what is the song or something that you're most looking forward to?
The moment I'm looking for is when they take the plexiglass down. And then the song I'm probably looking,
we have a bunch of new songs. Yeah, like, excited to play.
Yeah, like, we don't know what we're gonna play yet. We haven't really finalized anything, so we can't really, we're gonna play some of the old stuff too, obviously, like the stuff that people were really jamming on last time and like once again, but we're gonna try and mix in some brand new as well.
Yeah, it's gonna be different. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, it'll just be nice to feel that again, because I mean, like, February and beginning of March was the last time that you guys would have played for it with the Beaches tour, correct?
Yeah, it was March 1st.
Yeah. And like, doesn't that feel like years ago?
Yeah. We were talking about this yesterday, because it's August now. That's crazy.
It's August, but it's like, it snapped.
No, it felt like a month. Like, that felt like a month ago. Like, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
Time flies like that sometimes too.
It's just, yeah. I guess we're having fun.
Yeah. I want to ask real quick, what feelings did you guys have when Taste of Life like came out? When you guys finally got that out into the world, were you like, holy shit?
It's kind of hard to explain, because it was like, I think we had the most amount of fun like making the EP.
Yeah.
Exciting thing. And then by the time it came out, we were like, we'd listened to it so many times, and like, we were like, okay, what's next? Like, we were just excited for the next thing. I'm sure we'll have that feeling when we release whatever we release next, you know, be like, okay, like, let's move on. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know,
I share those feelings too. Like, it was like, you know, it seemed like long overdue coming out, because like we sat on it for like maybe over half a year before it came out officially. But when we played that show at the Horseshoe, like we played like a big EP release show at the Shoe, and it was like a great time, and that really felt like a proper way to put that out. So
if you had to pick a favorite song from that recording, what would it be for any reason? Like, it doesn't have to be because it's my favorite song to play. What evokes the most emotion for you? It's a thinker, I know, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Can I do like a two-way tie?
Yeah, man.
I would say Taste of Life, just because I don't know how to describe it. I'm just going to give them it. Okay, Taste of Life, and then also Kentucky, just because that was the first song that he ever wrote for the band when he joined. That was like the first song that we did with him. So that was like really exciting. That was the first time that all four of us sang, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a stepping stone for us. So I guess I'll say Kentucky. That'll be my choice.
I'd probably go with Feelings Don't Show, to be honest. It's like, it's a classic for me. And like, even from before I was in the band, like being front row at all of their shows and like fucking jamming.
We've been friends a long time.
Jamming along to those songs. Like, Feelings Don't Show has always sat in my heart as like a great tune. And I love that song.
It's funny too, because this is kind of like off topic, but like, Owen was like coming to our band practices just to hang out before he was in the band too. So like, by the time we needed a new drummer,
I was a little kid. I was like, yeah.
By the time we needed a new drummer, we knew who we were going to ask. And so he came to band practice and just like knew all the songs already. And it just felt right. It was just like immediately.
You're just like, well, that's a wave of stress gone. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there you go.
No, that's great. I feel like there's a song that everybody just connects to for different reasons that they've made. Like, it can be anything, but like the experience for, like you're saying, for Kentucky, and then like, it's just nice having those moments recalled when you're like, oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
Just good memories.
Yeah. In terms of songs that aren't yours, what was the moment that things changed for you for music? Like, what was a song you heard where you went, oh shit, I love that, or the band, or
like, you know, every artist will say this, but it's so many, right?
Yeah, like I had that film like last week.
When I was a kid, it was Rush.
Nice.
When I, you know, started getting more a bit conscious, it was musically conscious, or I'll say rock and roll conscious, it was a band called the Flat Duo Jets. Which are a like crazy two-piece from Georgia, I think, Athens. And they like inspired the White Stripes. They talk about it in It Might Get Loud, the movie.
Good documentary, yeah.
Yeah. I like that. And, but I'll also say like Bob Dylan, because I just like appreciate the words, and like the craft behind his lyrics is like something that I keep on studying to this day.
Yeah, I love Dylan.
I still don't have an answer. I guess I'll say White Stripes, because that was the first time that I heard something that, because my dad plays like a Western swing guitar and like a bit of jazz and stuff. So like, I grew up like touring with him to like country festivals and stuff. So like, grew up with a lot of country. And when I was like five, that was like not my thing. So. I was like surrounded by country, and like I listen to country now, but it's like back then. So the first time I heard White Stripes, I was just like, this is insane. Like, this is like, who the hell made this? And like, I didn't know that you could have that much energy into your music. And like, so that was like a shocking thing for me when I was like 7 or 8.
That also sent both of us backwards. Like, as soon as you get into understanding Jack White, then you're like, okay, I need to go listen to a bunch of blues from the 30s now. Like, and that, you know, really, really rounded out my perspective on music. Like, like getting in touch with all of it so much, and just understanding like what's gone in, everything that's gone into the musical cocktail
that, like, what had to get made for the White Stripes to even exist, like, you know, so much had to happen, you know.
You have to really get into the psyche of who they are and like figure out where things all change for them musically. Yeah. Too, right. Yeah.
And you just keep going backwards. Like, you know, I could tell you about like classical music, or I could tell you about like, 1920s Delta stuff. Like it's just, once you get on the thing, it's like chasing the dragon basically.
Yeah. A more recent answer for me too is like, just because I feel like this, I could have an answer for you like every other day. I'd be like, band, like, but if Reed was here, he could give a way better description of this. But there's this band that we've been really into called Guided by Voices that are just kind of like garage rock pioneers. And like, they kind of instituted this idea in my head that like, I don't know, there's something unattractive to me about when like rock music sounds so perfect, you know, there's something like just wrong about that. It's like, but like Guided by Voices, they're just famous for like, they have like something like 40 records or something like that. They just announced a second album this year, and their first one of this year hasn't even come out. They put 3 out last year. It's crazy. It's just so unadorned that they just make it and put it out. And like, that was so inspiring for me. I want to try to apply that to everything I do, is like, you know, just make whatever feels right. And as soon as you made it, then the energy's there, put it out, you know? And that's kind of where I want to take my work ethic.
Yeah. I guess that kind of, that leads me into a final couple things I want to talk about. What can we expect from you guys when, for the next year? I know you guys are saying you have a lot of demos. What are your guys' plans? What are you thinking of doing?
Trying to, wait to hear the word on what playing shows again might look like, and like how we're gonna come back in that sort of way. And when we do, there'll be new stuff to hear. And we're probably gonna try and polish some of it up in the next little while, and like see what we can put out soon.
I think honestly, just from demoing the last few months, it's like we've been, and just from everything that's been going on in the world, that we've just been growing so much as people. I think we just kind of want to see where this takes us right now. And then, you know, when the time comes that we can play again, we'll be back, you know. But I think as of right now, we're just trying to kind of reflect on what's happening, see how we can, you know, use our music to bring awareness to what's going on, and like, you know, just try to grow as people for everything that's happening right now. It's crazy times, really crazy times that we're living in. So
young guys growing up.
Yeah, we're trying to use it to our advantage, I guess. And yeah, just trying to see where this goes. We got some just very different stuff happening right now, which is exciting.
Everything's changing, some things for the better, right? So you gotta keep that mindset. Where can everybody check you out?
Next week. That's
where can everybody check you out, guys?
We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Music, we're on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Fadeaways, 2 A's after the W.
Yeah.
Key information.
Key information.
Yeah. Duncan, Owen, thank you very much for taking the time to do this today. It's nice to chat with you guys again. We have a budding Radio Laurier connection now, so it's
yeah,
I love it. But no, thanks for taking the time and for the good conversation. Sometimes I don't know where I'm going, but that's kind of makes it more fun.
Yeah, it was great, man.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
We're going to stay safe, bro.
You too.
Peace out.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Tuned In. Check us out on social media at Radio Laurier, where you can find all the latest updates from our continually growing selection of content. Know someone who would be interested in coming on one of our shows? Find all of our contact information on our website, radiolaurier.com. I'm Keegan Gingrich. See you next time.